1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, how will the Cubs approach the trade deadline? We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Mark Medina. Covers the NBA for USA Today. We talk with him about the NBA Finals, what to expect from the Bucks and Suns next year, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no game with Ryan. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. If you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find him online at RyanIsMyAgent.com. That's RyanIsMyAgent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. There's always a point in your life where reality sets in. You lose your innocence. And you become an adult quick. Everyone could point to that one moment. Nothing's all rainbows and lollipops anymore. People realize, oh, crap. Reality sets in. Priorities change. And your mindset will never be the same. The Cubs, since 2016, were all about fairy tales, lollipops, and rainbows. This is a great team. They won the World Series. All we got to do is put in this, and we'll be fine. All we got to do is trade for Jose Quintana, and we'll be fine. We just got to sign a couple of other people. We'll be fine. Couple of stopgap guys. We'll be okay. No. No. It didn't work. You don't need me to tell you that, because right now the Cubs are selling at the deadline. Now, I'm not here to bask in the glow, even though I said from 2019 that they should have rebuilt. Here to actually make a positive video. I want you to realize, Cubs fans, this is the best thing the Cubs have ever done for you since 2016. Yeah, believe it. There is nothing more beneficial for you, the fans, and for this organization than what they're doing right now. I had David Kaplan on a couple of days ago. If you missed it, go back and watch it. I asked him, are you disheartened by all these moves, by the core going away? He said no, because guess what? They never made it back to the World Series, which means that's it. I don't feel bad for this team breaking up. Thank you. There's no need to feel bad or sympathy. They were a great team. Five playoff appearances, World Series, division titles. Bryant won an MVP, Rizzo a couple of gold gloves, Baez. Not that these guys were bad. It's just that now they can't win. So instead of being broken up about it, instead of worrying and wondering what's going to happen to this team, if I were you, I'd be pretty happy at what's about to happen. The Cubs already made a trade. They traded Andrew Chapin, their relief pitcher, to the Oakland A's for two great prospects who we'll talk about in a second. But more's to come. And you have to understand that there's nothing wrong with that. There isn't. Sentimentally, I understand it. Might be hard to get rid of Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, all of these key players who won your World Series, broke a curse. But guess what? In 3 or 4 years, you'll be back. That's right, in 3 or 4 years, you'll be back to that level with a new core, new players, and a new chance to have this last longer. We can all agree that the Cubs should have won more than one World Series. With this talent, this roster, this core, they should have won 2 or 3. Minimum. They didn't. What went wrong? Well, guys underperformed. The core was overhyped to an extent. Now they can't win, and they're going to be shipped off. The Cubs have learned from their mistakes. Too many bad contracts given out. Jason Hayward to this day still baffles me. How do you pay this guy $180-plus million to play great defense? How do you trade for Jose Quintana and give up a couple of your great prospects? How do you trade for Aroldis Chapman and give up Gleyber Torres? I understand that it helped him win the World Series, but even today, if you traded for Aroldis Chapman again, there is no chance in the world you'd give up a top 10 prospect, a couple of them. Cubs did. They were desperate, and to their credit, they won. But all these moves made out of desperation ended up hurting them down the road. Learning from these mistakes will be key for a new dynasty. Can't learn unless you strike out. Unless you make a big mistake. Cubs, fortunately, are learning now. And they're learning at the deadline what it means to be a seller. This is really the first time that the Cubs have actively sold under Jed Hoyer and new management. Before it was always a rebuild, so they were never really in the trade market. Then they were only buying every year, trying to become better, trying to get to that second World Series. It never happened. So this whole process is a learning process, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. I appreciate that finally someone over there is thinking with some sense. Someone's realizing, you know what, this team isn't good. These guys aren't performing. We have to change and pivot if we want to be great again. Every great company, every great organization goes through a pivoting stage. Usually it comes before bankruptcy, but in this case, it's a real pivot to try and get better for the future. And to the Cubs' credit, to Jed Hoyer's credit, they got a lot back for Andrew Chapin. I know Chapin had a great year, but at the end of the day, he's a bullpen piece. They brought back a couple of really good prospects who have a chance to bloom soon. Dykeman from the A's, first baseman, supposed to be good, 900 OPS in the minors. And Palencia, a pitcher, tops out in the high 90s. They both may end up being nothing. We don't know. These are all prospects subject to change. But I'll say this. To get back two decent prospects, one of which is a top 10 A's prospect, for Andrew Chapin, are you kidding me? That's an outstanding trade. Now we're seeing talks about Chris Bryant, and it looks like the Giants may offer Joey Bart, one of their top prospects. Sign me up. I know it's tough to adjust to this reality. I get it. Like you're at a garage sale selling all your possessions and hoping for a buck or two. I understand. It's not easy. No one said it would be easy or fun or happy to deal with. But you do realize that the Cubs are actually getting back decent players. Really good players who could actually be great and, again, usher in a new era of Cubs baseball. A more successful era. Not impossible. Who's to say? In 2025, the Cubs won't have a better team than the 2016 team. They'll win more World Series. It's possible. But that can't happen unless you make the moves to make it happen. Cubs are doing it. I'll tell you this much. If they get back Joey Bart for Bryant, ka-ching. They got back two good prospects for Chapin. Are you kidding me? Think about who else could go and what could come back. Baez, Rizzo. This is the best thing the Cubs have done for you since 2016. Keep believing that. May not look good, may not feel good in your heart, but trust me, it's the best thing they've done. For once, there is no delusion. They're admitting, you know what? We're not a good team. We could be in a couple of years. So let's trade what we have now, and let's build the next super contender. I have no issue with that. That's the big positive of this entire thing. I know for some it's hard. And when I was a kid, it's pretty hard for me to get rid of Derek Lee. When the Cubs traded Lee in 2010, 2011, not easy. But I got over it. Anthony Rizzo came, Cubs won a World Series. See what I mean? Now I understand the Cubs core is more special than even Derek Lee because they won the World Series. But you have to understand that all these guys can't play anymore. Or some of them can play, but they can't win anymore as a team, as a unit. And that's been apparent. They've been given more than enough opportunities. They've been given help via the trade deadline, free agency, money's been thrown in their faces. Nothing's worked. So it's time to move on. You can only give people so many chances. When you have Jason Hayward having an 80 OPS plus, when Ian Happ can literally hit 150 at best, I mean, it's pretty apparent that it's over. Nothing wrong with that. Again, I appreciate, finally, someone standing up and saying, this team is bad now, time to move on. Versus the past couple of years, Theo Epstein shooting prospects away, taking on these players who mean nothing. Jose Quintana was one of the worst trades in Cubs history. Seriously. Name me a worse trade for the Cubs than maybe Lou Brock back in the 1960s. Maybe. So you have to realize what happened after 2016 and why are the Cubs where they are today? Serious question. Cap even said the other day on the program, this was an organizational failure. How many times have I said that? Organizational failure top to bottom. Everybody is culpable. Theo Epstein's very culpable, though, for making some of these moves that were completely unnecessary. Jose Quintana was a joke. Paying Jason Hayward that much money, joke. Yu Darvish, then trading him, that was Jed, joke. The whole thing should not have happened. You know, if they approached last year or even 2019 differently, they could have rebuilt on the fly. Still, there was an opportunity in 2018, 2019, to rebuild on the fly, not have a full-down, tear-down rebuild, and be good in a year. They chose not to do it. For what reason, I don't know. My guess is Marquee. Everyone's favorite Marquee Sports Network. Because they knew a TV channel was coming, and there's no way you could put out an inferior product to launch a new TV channel. That just wouldn't work. So they put off-the-field interests above on-the-field interests, a winning team, and that's how things worked out. Now the Cubs are where they are today. I don't know many Cubs fans who are happy about all this. To their credit, I think people have finally stopped being delusional. And I know a month ago is way different. Got people saying they're going to win the division, go to the World Series, real contender. I don't think so. But today, people have realized what needs to happen. May not be easy, may not be highly liked or acceptable, but everybody knows at the end of the day what needs to happen for this team to be great again. That's why the Cubs, what they're doing right now, the greatest thing they've done for you since 2016. Tell me I'm wrong. For once, they're realizing where they are. They know where they could be in a couple of years if they play their cards right. They're getting back very good prospects for players you don't even know about, really. Chapin was here a half a year in the bullpen. They got back two good prospects, one of which was a top 10. Imagine what they get back for Bryant, Rizzo, Baez. Good players. This isn't any old garage sale here. They're not getting rid of Van Gogh paintings for $12. They're actually bringing in some good return on their investments. Not everybody's capable of going. For example, no one will take on Jason Hayward. That's a fact. No one will take Ian Happ, unfortunately. But for the most part, you could get value out of these players, out of the old core. Nothing wrong with that. I love this. I've been calling for this for 3 years. Now you'll see this team finally rebuild. And in 2025, when they're in the World Series again, you'll be like, wow, you know what? I'm happy this happened. I'm actually mad it took them this long to realize it. You'll be thinking that in a couple of years, when they're good again. It's almost here. By starting now, by being proactive today, less time to wait. They started today. By 2025, I guarantee you, division winner. Guaranteed. Save the video. Like the video. Remember this. By 2025, they're going to be a division winner. No doubt. Because they started today. They were proactive. They saw where the organization was going. They saw that these guys just couldn't play anymore. Time to move on. They won a World Series. Legends. Great team. Move on. I didn't see the Cubs of 1908 hold on to all these players. It was a much different Cubs team in 1918 compared to 1908. New core. New players. And they made it back. With a different team. Nothing wrong with that. And for some of these guys, it could actually be beneficial. Think about it that way, too. Hey, Kyle Schwarber left, hitting bombs until he got hurt. A change of scenery could actually help out these players. They could perform better. Now, it might hurt that they're not performing for your team anymore, but for their career's sake, for future paycheck's sake, for their livelihood, that's a good thing, too. Have to look at it that way. So, believe it or not, there's a lot of good that's come from this. Might be hard to see today. Might be heartbreaking to see today, but a lot of good. A lot of good things. The Cubs will be better because they've started to rebuild today. So they'll be better sooner. All these players who can't perform and are sick and tired of hearing their names in rumors could go, finally, and improve. Cubs could rebuild, get back great prospects, and by 2025, they'll be a division winner with a brand new core. I see no issues with this whatsoever. It's obviously time. Might hurt, but it's time. And we all know it. There's really no more denying it anymore. I see people even say, you know what? It is time. It is time. It's been time. We're doing the right thing business-wise. They will be okay in a couple of years. And when this team wins a second World Series in this decade, you'll be like, well, why'd it take so long? Don't hold on to the past relics. They're good. They deserve to be revered, but they're in the past. Look towards the future. And finally, the Cubs are doing that. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Mark Medina comes up next, so stay tuned. Talk Chicago. Here with John Zagluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's covered basketball for 13 years and today serves as an NBA reporter for USA Today. Please welcome Mark Medina to the program. Mark, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. It's always good to talk with you. I hope you're hanging in there.
So, Mark, what was your reaction to the Bucks win?
Well, it was one hell of a series to watch. And I think that there's a lot of things that came full circle with, you know, the Bucks finally tasting its first championship since 1971. And, you know, most recently getting through that playoff wall after falling short in the Eastern Conference Finals for two consecutive years. And then Giannis elevating his game to another level into Finals MVP performance. And, you know, I think people, for the most part, appreciated Giannis's greatness even before this. But, you know, there was a rite of passage that he went through where, you know, he was always dominant the regular season. He would face a playoff opponent that had more time to scheme and make things difficult. And he was able to have a plan B this time around. So it was really cool to see that. And I think on top of that, it was cool to see some new faces in the NBA Finals, you know, overall after, you know, being used to LeBron dominate that landscape. It was fun to see some other stars shine in the limelight.
Has Giannis become the best player in basketball after this win?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think you could make a debate, but I would pin right now Kevin Durant as being the better player and Giannis being number two. And that's not the short shrift Giannis at all. I think it's just more of where Kevin Durant's at in his career. He's still in his prime. Even when he was coming off his Achilles injury, he hasn't really allowed his game to drop off. And, you know, a lot of the Nets' shortcomings had to do with the fact that you have James Harden, Kyrie Irving injured or limited, and the Bucks were a great team. But as much as Giannis was really dominant, to the Bucks' credit, they elevated their game with having better and more reliable, supporting cast teammates, where I think it's particularly toward the end with the Nets, the burden solely squared on Kevin Durant. But, you know, you can certainly make a case for either, but I would give the edge to Kevin because of his overall game, with just how dominant of a scorer he is on all ends of the floor. You know, Giannis has obviously a bigger advantage in terms of his strength and athleticism. But I think the scary thing about Giannis is he's just getting started at age 26, and he already has shown some progress this season in chipping away at some of his relative weaknesses with expanding his outside shot, improving his free throws, and I'm sure he'll continue to build on that next season.
Do you expect Giannis to win more NBA titles and this team?
I certainly expect he will. Now, does that mean that the Bucks are going to repeat next season? As of now, I don't put them as the favorites to repeat because you have to presume that the Nets are going to be healthier. I suspect that because of their shortcomings in the playoffs against Milwaukee, they will do what they can to make sure that the team is just not overly relying on their big three, that there are some reinforcements in case, you know, heaven forbid, there are some injuries. But I think next season they're going to come in with a clean bill of health. And then you also have a lot of other contenders in the mix that will be jockeying. I suspect that Ben Simmons will be traded from Philadelphia, so they will, you know, get something in value in return there to make them more dangerous. I think on the West, you look at the Lakers, the Nuggets, the Warriors, they're going to be a lot healthier as teams. So it's going to be a tough road to repeat, but in the totality of Giannis's career, he's certainly going to be collecting more titles, more MVPs. And it's also not out of the realm of possibility that he could win next season, because that's just how the NBA season unfolds with a lot of unpredictable events. But I think going into the year, I would give the edge to the Nets and the Lakers of getting the title.
Mark, how impressive was it, though, that this Bucks team wasn't necessarily a super team and they still won the finals?
Yeah, it was really impressive. And I think that they fell in this category where they weren't this super team like the Nets. But, you know, look, it wasn't like it was Giannis carrying a bunch of scrubs, right? They had, you know, Chris Middleton, who's a good all-star. Drew Holiday is one of the best defenders in the league. PJ Tucker showed his value in a midseason trade on the defensive end as well. So I think it was a healthy mix of, you obviously have this predominant generational talent in Giannis. You have, you know, a second tier all-star in Chris Middleton, and then a lot of good players that are really good at what they do. And it made for a really good combination to play winning basketball.
Could that become more common in the future, maybe a shift away from super teams and more so a big superstar, a B superstar, than some good role players?
Yeah, I think it's all just going to vary on the team's circumstances. And, you know, when they're the bottom line is the star player drives the ship. And so it really just depends on what that player is looking for and then what they have from a cap perspective to work with. But I think that, you know, aside from the Brooklyn Nets, in recent years, you started seeing a shift of the big three to the big two, where you have, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. With the Clippers, you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And so I think that there's less, you know, possible philosophical tension of how do you share one ball with three guys, and you find a bunch of different role players. So I think overall in the league that has shifted, already, even before the Bucks. But I think with the small market parameters, this is really the model that you find a it's hard to find Giannis out of nowhere. He's a unique talent. But, like, generally speaking, you have a star player that drives the ship. And if you can find, an all-star caliber player that isn't quite at the same level as far as, generational talent, that at least gives him some complimentary scoring. And then the rest role players, I think that's a great recipe, so long as, the coaching and the overall culture is in place.
Mark Medina, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Mark, how do you evaluate the Suns' performance in the series?
Well, the bottom line is they came up short for the most part because Giannis is really dominant. They really had no answer for him other than fouling him and sending him to the free throw line. And even that in game six was a bad proposition because he was making his free throws. But I think when you're looking internally, even when you account for Giannis's dominance, there were a handful of all their losses, with the exception of game three, came down to just a handful of possessions here or there where they could have won the game, but they had turnovers, they had offensive rebounds, they didn't have consistent ball movement. And so with, where I look at this, it's kind of a glass half full, glass half empty. They overachieved. I didn't expect that they would get to the finals. I thought they would lose in the first round. Part of it had to do with the circumstances, with, who they faced, with, a limited Anthony Davis with the Lakers, an injured Jamal Murray with the Nuggets, an injured Kawhi Leonard with the Clippers. But in fairness to them, Chris Paul stayed healthy. He had an impact where he's still putting up performances like he's in his prime. And Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton raised their game to another level. Devin Booker not just being a guy that stuffs the stat sheet, but also impacts winning basketball. DeAndre Ayton becoming more of a defensive force and still being able to have a presence offensively, even if his shots are limited, to account for Chris Paul's arrival. But clearly they have to put all those things consistently together against a high playoff caliber team, because you saw games where Devin Booker was scoring a lot, sometimes inefficiently, sometimes efficiently, but at the expense of consistent ball movement. And then he had DeAndre Ayton gaining the foul trouble a few games. So I think moving forward, they are young. The future is bright for them to build off of this, but the championship window is always fleeting. So to the earlier question about, the Bucks, can they win a championship next season? I think it applies the same way to the Suns. I wouldn't give them the edge to get back to the finals because the landscape is going to be a lot tougher next season. But they do have a base to build on, and I trust that just like Giannis, Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton will end their career with championships. With Chris Paul, who knows? I expect that he will stay with the Suns, whether he, exercises player option or gets a longer deal with the Suns. But he's 36 years old, and this could have been his best opportunity to get it. But I think for reasons much more than any shortcomings Chris had, he wasn't able to get that done and experience playoff heartbreak once again.
What needs could the Suns address this offseason to get better for next year?
I think a lot of it is just keeping what you have. If Chris Paul opts out of his player option, they can't be penny pinching here. He is one of the primary reasons, or the primary reason, why they got to where they are. So they need to spend for him, even if he's 36 years old, deal with whatever consequences that lies with down the line. They still have a championship window. You got to keep him to help drive the ship and also take pressure off of Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton to continue to develop. And then, they have Mikal Bridges, they have DeAndre Ayton eligible for rookie extensions. Those are no-brainers. Lock those guys up. Long-term, they're good young talents, and then just continue to develop. I don't think that they really need to make any, major changes. They have the foundation in place. It's a matter of making sure that that doesn't splinter off and then just continue to build on the good habits that they, laid out this season.
More to come with Mark Medina in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Medina still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mark, a couple more questions before we finish up. First off, your reaction to Giannis ordering 50 nuggets at Chick-fil-A was what?
I thought that was hilarious. I mean, I'm sure that there's now an endorsement deal in the works with Chick-fil-A. That was great publicity. I love the joy when you see guys win a championship and you see them celebrate, you know, whether it's champagne baths or going through Chick-fil-A drive-through. Like, it's just cool. Like, they're on cloud nine. They're enjoying the moment. They deserve it. It made for a fun viral moment, and I think it just captured not only the obvious of what a championship means to Giannis, but I think it captured his authenticity, that he's a very open guy and he just likes to find kind of the joy in small moments. So why not order a 50-piece McNugget? And look, Giannis takes care of his body, so, you know, this is kind of a rare treat, and it's well-deserved. But I trust that later on in the offseason, he'll go back to his dietary regimen.
Now, this isn't an ad, but what's your go-to meal at Chick-fil-A? Do you eat it?
Yeah, I mean, if they want to pay me, I'll talk them up. But I resist fast food for the most part, because unlike Giannis, like, I'm not, you know, playing 82 game season. I gotta check the LBs. So unless there's a chick in the mail, I'm not going to be endorsing other places.
And Mark, before we finish up today, last question: who's your favorite player to cover in the NBA Finals? Who was your favorite one from this past series?
Well, just a peek behind the curtain. My colleague Jeff Zilgit, he handled the Bucks end. I handled the Suns end. So, like, I didn't really have too much of an experience to share of what it was like covering the Bucks. So I'll have to just go through the Suns end. I thought it was just really inspiring to hear Monty Williams speak. I mean, he's, you know, been through so much in his life, a few years removed from his tragedy with losing his wife in a car accident. But he just has real good life perspective. And, you know, when we're talking about the Suns and their ability to get to the finals, a lot of it traces to how not only his coaching acumen, but just how he sets the tone with his personality and his, you know, outlook on life, where, you know, he would always, you know, stress the need to just, you know, embrace the positives out of any circumstances, good or bad, and not get too high or too low. And I think that really taps into the Suns' resiliency this season. The fact that, you know, when you're looking at the regular season, the finals, there are only two times that they had a three-game losing streak. Now, in the Suns' case, that three-game losing streak the second time came at the worst time in the NBA Finals, but the Bucks are a really good team. So I think especially the fact that they're inexperienced outside of Chris Paul, and it's a pretty young team outside of Chris Paul, they showed a remarkable amount of maturity. And I think a lot of that not just reflects on those guys individually, but, you know, Monty setting the tone with how to have the right perspective with, you know, work habits, playing the games, and then just, you know, taking for what it is of what it means, you know, in the big picture.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining me. Great coverage, of course, of the NBA Finals, and get some rest, I guess, before the NBA offseason kicks in. Really appreciate the time.
Well, thanks so much. Easier said than done. It's all about the draft and free agency now, but maybe when that dies down.
Great talk there with Mark Medina. That'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Mark Medina himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalb, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No!
Where are the turtles?